All right. Hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham. I'm psyched as this is our Christmas gear episode. I've been waiting for this one for a long time. Oh, and you know, it's our 100 subscriber show. So you know what that means. You get presents. Well, we'll be giving them away and raffling them. So hopefully you're in the chat there for that. But stay tuned tonight. We've got some great items to, throw into or throw under the tree there. And so looking forward to that. But as always, let me refresh your memories and your glasses to say, that we can always head over to the website at livefreeandham.com and subscribe to our podcast. You know, make sure you like our channel, as well as we have a bunch of great stuff coming up this year that you definitely don't want to miss out on, both on our podcast and we'll be doing on our YouTube channel as well. So let's get into it today. I'm your host, Eric. My call sign is N1JUR, and I'm joined by
All KF4TPY.
And Ryan, W1SNH.
And last but not least, I'm Todd, W1STJ.
All right, cool. Well, hey, before we get into discussion for tonight, as I always like to do with every show, is catch all of you guys up and let you know what's going on and where the Live Free and Ham crew might be. As always, we do a once a month live stream. So if this is your first time, catching our live stream, welcome. If you haven't already, make sure you're a subscriber and you ding that bell so you get notified every time we go live. And we also update all of our socials, Instagram, and Facebook, although we aren't X users, so we apologize for that. But and we also have a special event coming up. Now, for those that already have listened to this week's pod episode, where Todd and I talk about our goals to getting the 1,000 contacts at the Nashua Rail Trail. First thing you need to do is head over to our website, subscribe to that, and listen to that podcast. But if you have, if you were listening close enough, we threw down a challenge, to our listeners, where we said, we didn't know when we were going to activate the whole thing, but we figured, hey, let's do a little bit of an office pool. And in that office pool, we're going to have you guys, the listeners, pick the day or the month, or both actually, and decide when we're going to actually complete the kilo. It's sort of like an office pool, and the listeners that are closest to the date will win some pretty cool stuff, and we'll reveal more of that stuff down the road. Definitely head over to our website. There'll be more details there, and check back often to make sure that you don't miss out on that challenge coming up. So we're going to forego a little bit of what we talk about usually on our shows, is where we ask each other what's been going on in Ham Worlds, to really kind of get into the action. And so once we kind of dive into the deeper side of things, like I said, this is our gear episode on top of our 100 subscriber episode. We'll be doing, at about the 30 and 45 minute mark, giveaway. So make sure if you're in the chat that you're paying attention and listening for the keywords there. And so you can have an opportunity to win a couple of great items. We're giving away an HT and another Reliance antenna, NFID half-wave. If you've had a chance to go over to my channel and check that out, N1JUR did a great review with Matt from Reliance antenna there. And it's an awesome antenna. I use it a lot when I'm out doing my POTAs. So without further ado, let's get in and talk about how we're going to run tonight's show. So it's like I said, it's a gear episode. So we're going to be spending some time talking about our favorite things of 2023 that we liked. And we kind of broke it out into a couple of categories. And this is really not, an episode of, where you can send to your wife or, significant other and say, hey, or go buy me this stuff. Although it's possible, but it's only like, 5 days till Christmas. So if you're already at this, place in life, ham radio gear might not be the place to go. So, what we're going to do here is the format. I'm going to hold up a bag that I have with a bunch of numbers in here. And so we are going to pick the order tonight for the deciding factor of who's going to, throw their product or, item or radio into the ring first and kind of go from there. So if Ryan, we'll start with you since, you know, you're to my right here. If you want to go ahead and pick a number from 1 to 6, and if I pull out that number and it's the number you chose, then you will have the coveted first position. And then we'll continue on through Paul and Todd until that first spot is actually picked, and then we'll, you know, get the other two slots going. So go ahead and give me your number, sir.
All right, number 5.
All right, let's see what we got here. And we pull out, they're all stuck together because I use stickets, silly boy. All right. Nope, that is not correct. All right, go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, 1 through 6, sir.
Let's go with 4.
All right. Let's see if, my gosh. Note to self, do not use stickets as drawing numbers. They do not work well. No, that is not the number. All right, Todd, come on.
How about 3?
Let's go here. Oh, it is your lucky day. If I can get rid of this other sticker that's on top of this one. We got the number 3 for Todd. So he is coveted first position. All right. So between Ryan and Paul, go ahead, Ryan, pick a number 1 through 6 minus 3.
Number 1.
All right. And no, it is not number 1. Paul, go.
Let's stick with 4.
All right. Oh, it is so good. It is number 4. All right, cool. So the order tonight is Todd, Paul, and Ryan. All right, so to start us off here, we are going to talk about a bunch of gear selections we all either personally love, either the best radios, the stuff that we've coveted, or maybe we have in our own shack that we want to kind of throw in the ring. And the way this works is obviously the order's been chosen, that if the person has already announced that gear for that category, well, guess what? The other two have to scramble pretty fast and come up with a couple other different options, you know, that might fit their, you know, their want or their need and still be able to fit in the category. So to kick things off, Todd, you know, how about you? So we're going to start off with the HF radio category here. And, you know, so what do you have for your first choice for HF radios?
My first choice would be my my Flex radio, of course.
Okay.
6400.
All right.
My second choice is obviously my Yaesu.
Oh, well, you DX-10. Can't continue. No, you hold your deals there. You only get one to the table for every category. So,
all right. All right. Yeah, my Flex radio. I mean, it's a radio that I'm really learning how to use. I'm very novice at it, but I've been having a lot of fun with it, and it's definitely fun to use. So yeah, that's my number 1.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, that's a hard pick because there's 3 other people here in the crew that have Flexes, and then you can toss that out with the bathwater.
You can't pick the same thing?
They cannot
thing.
Pick. Well, that's why we chose the order there. So, you know, they got to now scramble. I can see people's brains are churning and, you know, see where we go. But I know where Paul's going to go. I can almost factor this in. Go ahead, Paul. What's your HF radio choice for 2023?
Since this year, new to the shack is the ICOM 7300. Yes. That is absolutely 100% my HF radio of the year.
Okay, well, that is a wonderful radio. I know you've had a joy and love with that piece of equipment, and it kind of puts Ryan in a tough spot. I mean, he's got both of those in his shack, both the Flex and an ICOM 7300. So, you know, I don't know, where is he going?
It's actually very straightforward. So
new elementary this year, Watson.
New this year in the shack is the mighty IC705.
Oh yes, I totally forgot you had that.
Yep.
Yeah,
Team ICOM.
Yep. So we'll count the 2 check marks next to ICOM there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, that's
You know, Ryan, you could have done the 6600.
You could have. It's a different radio.
I'm a 6400. Different radio, different.
The ICOM does more.
Oh, you heard it here, folks.
He's going back.
You can never never give up and never give up your first love, as they say. All right, well, with that, then that makes me round out this category, and I'm surprised it left me wide open. My first choice obviously was the Flex, but I knew that was going to be scooped up by one of the two folks here on the pod here, but I am going to go with my DX-10. Although I don't currently have it in possession right now, and I am, it's on loan to another ham. He is loving that radio. I have, that was my first official, we'll say, SDR radio that I kind of bought. Love the fact that it's a hybrid, and it's done wonderful for me for the period of time I had it before I made the leap to Flex. And, you know, so you know, it is going to forever have a very warm place in my heart and, you know, on my, you know, radio shelf going forward. So that's it for me. So, you know, if any of the listeners are out there or in the chat, you know, feel free to join in and throw your items, you know, that you either use in your shack or, you know, you know, from our choices, you know, go ahead and chime in and add it in. We'll make sure we get your comments in there. Okay. So just diving into the next category we're going to talk VHF, UHF radios. Now that kind of opens a very big, you know, swath of space in radios. You know, so tell me what your first choice is, why, and what one or two features that you think out of the deal is, you know, the one thing that makes that radio that more special to you. So go ahead and kick us off, Todd.
I think my Yaesu 300, that's my car. It's my Jeep radio. I love it. It's very simple to use. It's compact. It works well. It's really cool. And it does the APRS. I've been able to easily manage things. You can switch to digital to analog with just a push of a button. And I probably use that radio more than any other radio because when I'm in the car, I'm normally calling my call sign out. So, yeah, that's my favorite one. I'd recommend it to anyone. It's a dual. You can have two different channels, so you can switch between the two and monitor two of them. So it's a nice radio.
Sweet. Yeah, I would agree 100% with that radio. I think, you know, Ryan, you don't have a 300 at all, Ryan, do you? You traded up, right?
No, I still have the 300 in the car. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yep.
I didn't know you had that one. Yeah. Yep.
So, all right, cool. So 300 is definitely a good radio, awesome features. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, I'm just going to put a dig out there for K-Murder or Mr. Ham Radio Tube, APRS does rock. So, yeah, anyway, well enough with that. Over to you, Paul. What's your pick for VHF, UHF?
So as far as VHF, UHF, I got to go with the radio. This is my truck. I'm gonna one up Todd just a little bit because it's the Yaesu FTM 400 XDR. Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
The things that I absolutely love about that radio is I love the detachable face, the full color display, dual band, dual VFO. So often I've got the local repeater up on the A band, and then I've got simplex 2 meter calling on B band. And I'm always at least monitoring those two, you know, but, I've got so many different, you know, like municipality frequencies and stuff, programmed in too. So if I do any traveling around the state, or even like, you know, in April when I drove down to Florida, I'll be doing it again, this coming April. You know, I'll run APRS the whole way, on the B band, and then I'll cycle through the calling frequencies on the A-band. But, yeah, it's fantastic radio. And it can do cross-mode repeat.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I use that radio in my shack, you know, it's my shack radio. And I love it. It's great. It's very similar. It's got a little bit of some extra different features like the touch screen and stuff. But for my Jeep, the 300 is a little bit skinnier, a little bit smaller, doesn't take up as much space. But for the shack, the 400 is it's very useful. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, the 400 is pretty good.
Yeah, either one of them is. I mean, you're not going to go wrong whichever one you want. But I had to get another one, and you know, when I got the Jeep, because I was going to get the 991A, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get the DX10. So I needed a two-band radio. And I said, well, I already got the 400. Why don't I try a 300? And so I was glad I did it.
Fell in love. Yep. Yeah, my 300 story is pretty much I asked for a 400 for Christmas, and my wife got bamboozled by the guys at HRO for the 300, saying it was newer. And my look on my face was, oh, this isn't the 400. And I acted like a little toddler, sadly. And I realized, you know, now that the 300 is way far more superior in a lot of other features than just the feature that I was kind of really looking for, which is the APRS component, which, you know, I love the touchscreen option, but, you know, I definitely like the, as Todd said, the small little form factor and, you know, that the head is, not huge on my dash and whatnot. And that's kind of just more of a personal preference, but yeah. But the APRS implementation is kind of, you know, a hot garbage a little bit. Okay. Well, so, all right. So 300 with Todd there, 400 with Paul. What do you bring to the table there? Let's see if we can round this out.
So the, I do use both the 300 and 500 great radios, but my pick for this category is going to be my 705 because I have it hooked up to the shack. I can remote in on the phone and it does it great. So 5 watts and it 10 watts when it's plugged into a shack power, but it, right. It performs awesome and hits all the boxes that I, you know, tasks that I'm looking for it to do around the shack and operating remote.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So is that the radio you use when you check in, when you're in the shack and you're checking on the net?
Yes.
Coming good.
I might have to put another radio on my Christmas list.
Yeah.
Well,
don't we all?
D-Star. Well, hey, and until you know our final picks at the very end, which we won't reveal now, we'll let everybody kind of sit back and hope and dream. You know, we're looking for a replacement in the ICOM world, or in the Yaesu world, but we'll talk about it a little bit. So, do you do much D-Star at all on it at all?
No, there's not too many D-Star in our area. It's all fusion based, so that's where the Yaesu, you know, checks off a win. But I really like the radio, and there's a mod coming out. There's a company that did a power board for it. It allows it to 12 volt charging, and it gives it a nice clean output for using with an amplifier.
Oh, is that the one that does USB-C charging?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. HRCC did a review on that. That was pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. So I got that on back order, and in the future, you know, I might be able to hook it up to an amp.
Well, then, you know, there, you know, now it's toe to toe with another said radio that kind of fits in the HF category that, you know, yeah. I covet as well. So, and actually we didn't mention an HF. So, you know, although, you know, that will kind of fit in the POTUS stuff. So, yeah. So, good on that. So, Team ICOM still, going strong here and, you know, we got Yaesu, you know, kind of pulling up the ranks in the back. For me, you know, I'm going to go HT. I mean, we kind of talked about mobile rigs here. I love my FTD 3D. Yeah, 3D. Yeah, that's what it is. I can never get the letters right. Although there's some shortcomings on the radio. It's one of those things that every time I get in front of it, it's almost like a new experience because, you know, I kind of like love the fact that the size of it and the touch screen and all the capabilities that are built into it with APRS are great, you know, for an HT. I mean, there's always a lot of shortcomings in that area, but the replacement to that, the 5 with a couple of new upgrades, which I don't have yet, would have, you know, definitely been, you know, my first pick if I didn't have the 3 already. And for the price point, it's definitely well, you know, worth, you know, the system, you know, the design and the functionality of the radio. It's pretty rugged. I have the proverbial, like, you know, every time I see a door frame and I have something on my hip, I always destroy whatever's, you know, affixed to my hip. So I don't put my phone on my belt clip any longer. And I guarantee that every time on field day rolls around, I am always bound to hit my FT3 off a table or, you know, something to that effect. And it takes a beating and keeps coming back. So I'm pretty happy with that one. So cool. All right. Well, we've got three mobile rigs there and, you know, a small HT. So it's pretty good for that round there. I'm thinking, you know, once we kind of dive into a little bit more of an area, not all of us kind of do, although Ryan's, you know, I'm sure going to bring this to the table for the QRP too, QRP side of this thing too, which we can all kind of say that, you know, we all know where he's going, but Todd, what do you got for QRP options? Maybe you can, you know, dethrone his choice.
Well, I'm going to go into the future and I'm going to pick the Yaesu 705 Killer as my QRP radio that doesn't exist yet. We don't know.
It has to be 2023. So as the official judge, I'm going to veto you.
Well, you know, I don't have a QRP radio.
Well, you technically do. You can drop the 891 down.
Yeah. So I would say like the 891 because I've tried it on a QRP, but it gets harder and it's just easier to jack up the...
Go back
100, right? Mm-hmm. The 891, that's my POTA rig, and that's what I travel with, and that's a great little radio, and it you know, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but for POTA it works awesome. So if you're looking to get in the POTA, that's the first one you should get because it does everything. It's got a lot of power and it's compact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, I agree with that 100%, and you won't get an argument out of me on that one. And yes, you can go down to 10 watts and pretend you're doing QRP. All right. Well, so Paul, what you got for your QRP thoughts or, you know?
Well, so I'm in, I don't have a QRP radio. I have run the Icom 706 Mark IIG as QRP, and I've run the 891 as QRP. But I've been looking, especially this year, for a good quality QRP radio that's going to be light, compact, going to easy throw in my bag. A lighter option from taking the full pack. And so what I was looking at was the USDX, the true SDX. Right. But I don't know. I mean, I might have to double check the 705s.
So what is your official choice in order for me to log it properly?
the official choice, I've been leaning hard towards the USDX.
Okay. All right. We got you in for the USDX. Excellent radio for a lot of QRP and soda and whatnot. And it tends to be the choice of many. So yeah, good on that one. Cool. All right. Well, Ryan, we all been waiting patiently. What's your choice?
Yeah. So I'm going to switch it up a bit here and just go with that. IC 705.
Excellent.
A very logical conclusion there.
You know, it's the shack in the box. Yeah, the only thing it's short of is 100 watts, and it would totally blow the 891 and everything else out of the water. It would do everything.
Yeah. It's too bad you can't buy like a little mini amp that you could connect to it that would push it up to 100 watts.
Well, you can.
Oh, but you can.
Yeah.
How big is it? One.
Yes.
Elocraft makes a mini, like something that you could throw in a backpack.
100 watts. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. With a tuner. It's awesome.
Oh, wow. See what we're missing out, Todd? And waterfall.
Yeah. Well, that's the best, the waterfall, right? Mm-hmm.
We can only hope one day that Yaesu decides to get their heads out of their butts and decide to do something phenomenal with a merge of the 891 and the 710 and stop calling the 710 a field radio. It is not. That's my own opinion. All right. So I have to say I'm glad no one bothered to scoop this one up. I am a big fan of this little QRP rig. This is my FX4CR. Those that have seen the Beach Go Bag review on my channel, I went over that pretty well in detail. And it for construction, for
can you
overall use. What's that?
Can you post a picture there?
No, I can't actually. I wish I could. Sadly, I don't have any pictures of it. It's such a great radio. No one can look at it. It's like it goes to 11 and no one shall touch it. With the FX4CR, if those of you haven't seen it, you can go up to bg2fx.com. And I should mention, I totally forgot, all of the stuff that we talk about, all links will be in our show notes. So just make sure you check those show notes if you're looking for any of the stuff that we talked about or mentioned. But the FX4CR is, if you've not seen many of the reviews, I did one on my channel. There's plenty more on the internet. It is a well-constructed, has its own waterfall, does 20 watts, does Bluetooth digital out, has a beautiful, well-built microphone, has a phenomenal speaker, which is the biggest thing with a lot of folks who do QRP. The speakers are just not that robust, or they just sound tinny and whatever. This one is just a phenomenal job all day, every day. And every time I take it out, I'm just totally amazed by its use and the power it has. And it's done me well so far. I haven't run into a place that I have not been, hey, I'm going to go to my FX4CR. So, checks all the boxes. So that would definitely be my QRP, pick for that category. So we are actually coming up on the top of the hour here. So, or at least the top of the half hour. And so we're going to kick off our first giveaway here. So if those that want to be, or those that are in the chat, we are going to be doing for our first giveaway, a giveaway for Radio Oddity GC5 handheld HT. So if you want to get in on that giveaway, all you have to do is put in the chat #repeater once I get the giveaway stream tool up here. And we'll let this run for a little bit. And it's repeater in all caps. And so let me get this going here. One more tab. There's always four windows that you have to do to get this working. Share screen. And we want to do... lovely. There we go. There we go. 1 second while here. So sadly, I have to do this in a different browser because, you know, why not? Here we go. All right. So let's go here. All right. Allow. Ah, no. What? Why'd you go there? You silly browser. Play with me today. No. Sorry. Sorry, guys. This is not one of those technical difficulties that...
That's okay. Stay with us.
We have stay on target. A-W-A-Y. There we go. Let's get the right one here. All right. Pound sign repeater, all caps, is what we're going to use for the keyword. So make sure you put that in the chat, and we'll run that for the next... couple of seconds here or so. So if you want to get in on the giveaway there for the Radiodity GC5, definitely put in pound sign repeater. So while we're kind of doing that, guys, just on a sidebar, what do you guys kind of do for your normal family holidays during Christmas? Anything special, traditions that you guys kind of do that you know like to mention or share while we're kind of waiting for the entries to kind of flow through here?
Eat a lot of desserts.
Any special desserts, Ryan?
There's chocolate pie, cherry pie, apple pie, pumpkin pie, chocolate mousse pie, banana cream pie. I mean, a slice of each will do just fine.
And icon pie.
As long as it's not pecan.
Right. I only eat pecan pie.
So is it pecan or pecan? Which one?
It's the pecans.
They're all.
So for me, it's unfortunately I have to get up really early. My kids like to get up before the roosters start going, 4 or 5 o'clock. Like, all I want to do is sleep, and you know, why are you waking me up in the morning? Maybe it'll be different this year, you know, but I don't know.
Hey, as they get older, let me say that the benefit to that is that they sleep in longer.
Right. Well, our Christmas is typically done before the sun comes up. So,
yep.
Wow. Okay. How about you, Paul? What's your traditions in Christmas that you enjoy doing, or besides, eating, pecan pie?
Oh, pecan pie is for the wife. I don't do pecans. I'm all about pumpkin and apple. I love pies and sweets. Christmas for us, it's relatively low key. The in-laws live across the street. So we let the boy get up. He's the last one in the house. He's 13. But we let him get up and kind of open his stocking, and, you know, then he has to wait for us for gifts. But, he knows, 7 o'clock is the hard line. Don't wake us up before 7 or we're going to make sure that we have coffee and breakfast, and you're going to wait till 9 before you open gifts.
Good job. Yeah. Nice job there. I'm with you. As anybody can contest, I am not a dessert guy, so I can't really much rejoice. I will have a slice maybe once in a while, but I'm not one to, you know, dive fully into that. I'm for our traditions here, we tend to like to do, you know, kind of things leading up to Christmas. So we'll do we went to a dinner party, a murder mystery this year, was one of our fun ones down at, LaBelle Winery in, Londonderry. And they did a Christmas dinner theater murder, you know, show. And it was pretty fun. And I think, Todd, my daughter sent you a certain video.
I do have the video.
That shall not get out.
Yeah.
You could share with the crew.
We might have to post that secretly somewhere. It was quite, I was like, what? I go, what is your dad doing?
I had to read Bob Marley's part in the Christmas Carol. And of course I had to do it in a voice that was of the Bob Marley himself, and I did a horrible hack job because I didn't have my glasses with me. So get the folks know, we'll get a couple more seconds in here to get the repeater entry going. But we like to do stuff like that. And our Christmas is pretty, like, you know, Paul said, pretty low key, and our kids are, you know, in their 20s, so, you know, they don't roll out of bed until like you know, maybe 11, 12 if we're, you know, early and lucky. So, you know, I definitely get to sleep in and have coffee and breakfast and enjoy. Well,
you want my kids Christmas Eve?
I've already done it, man. I've done it, been there, done that. All right, cool. All right. Well, so we got 16 here in the drawing. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the draw button here and we're going to see what we get. All right, the winner of the Radiodity GC5 is for Guy Lee, KN6WET. Guy, if you can, I will look you up on QRZ, but if you can do me a favor and just send an email to livefreeandham@gmail.com with your shipping detail information, if it's different than what it is on QRZ, I will make sure we get that out to you. And congratulations on the radio there. So, all right.
Guy, don't wet your pants.
I assume
love the call sign.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Love the call cool. sign.
Roger that. All right. Well, so let's keep plugging away here, guys. So we got a couple more categories to go through here. And so we've already wrapped up the probably three major categories when it comes to radios and stuff, but let's dive into antennas. I know a lot of us love antennas. We all have a deep, close admiration for different antennas, and a few of them I'm sure will definitely come out both on our POTA events and whatnot. So obviously, Todd, starting off the top of the list here, what antenna do you want to throw into your ring for a wire style antenna? Do you have a wire style antenna that you've used? I know you did purchase one, but I don't know if it's been in use yet.
Well, portable, though, I haven't used it yet, but I would say my off-center dipole, that's my main antenna for HF at the shack. It's been very good to me. Gone all around the world with it. Antarctica on FT8. Sideband as far away as New Zealand and Australia. And yeah, it's been good. It's been...
What is it, a Buckmaster?
No, it's... I forget what the brand name is, but it's nothing really super fancy, but it was recommended to me by another ham that I know, and he had it and he said it works great, and so we put it up. It's probably been 3 years.
Yeah, it's a radio. Wasn't it a Radio Waves? I think it was.
Yeah, Radio Waves.
Radio
yeah.
Waves. Okay.
Off center so dipole.
Yep.
80-10. It does. Yeah, 80-10, and it's been good. It's been up, and it only kind of got knocked down in that ice storm. It didn't even get knocked down. It just kind of lowered. So this summer, Eric and I shot it back up and got a little bit higher. And I was nervous because I was making Australia and I was afraid if I moved it, I'd start losing that. But I didn't. So it was all good.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's a good choice there.
Yeah, radio waves. Yeah, good antenna.
Yep. Yeah. And you can get a lot of those at HRO and whatnot. They tend to be very popular there and very good, very good antenna for sure. All right. Well, how about you, Paul? What do you got for your own wire antenna?
My absolute favorite wire antenna, it's a toss up because, you know, there's wire antennas that I love to use portable, and then there's my wire antenna at home. But the wire antenna at home gets the most use, and that is the K1JEK Kilo 1 Juliet Echo Kilo Cobra Ultralight Senior antenna. The antennas are made right here in Northwood, New Hampshire. It's built and designed to stand up to New England winters. And as Eric can attest, the wind may break the lines that hold it in place, but the antenna itself does not break.
No, I can contest that.
Yeah, that antenna came down two or three times over the course of the winter. No harm to the antenna whatsoever. It's fantastic. It's about 5 degrees off of a direct north-south orientation and 65 feet in the air. But it does everything from 160 to 10.
Wow.
10, not so great, but, 160 to 10. And yeah, like Todd said, I mean, I've had single sideband conversations all the way to New Zealand to the west, and all the way to Turkey in the east. So, I mean, it's just a fantastic antenna.
Definitely you have benefited from that thing. And I'm surprised, over all of our winters, and it's in open air, it's open in free space where it is. So it's like, it gets beat on hard.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's a big coil of ladder line because it's ladder line fed. So there's a big coil of ladder line up there, and it that catches all the snow and the ice and everything, and you know, it'll pull the antenna down a little bit, but just shake it free and back up she goes.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, good on that choice there. And so another reliable antenna. I've been throwing a couple from folks in the chat. I noticed that Ryan made a note to an antenna that I was going to mention for portable. But yeah, I second the N3VAN NFED half-wave. Todd and I both have one, and I did a review on that and love that antenna for portable use and whatnot, but a great, you know, even home antenna if you need something in a pinch. So how about you, Ryan? So what do you got?
So I got two antennas in mind. One I'm going to save for the POTA section. So for at home in the shack, I really like, and so one I started out with is my antennas and fed half wave.
Okay.
The founder was originally from New Hampshire and he's a friend of a local ham here. And he has them cut for broad range of frequencies. And I've bought, I have one active right now that gives me 75 through 10. I bought a second one that's 160. And then I have a third one that's cut only for 60 meter.
Oh, nice.
So it's, you know, great brand. I like it a lot. It's very robust. I don't have an amp, but it can handle a full 1500 watts and it tunes up great. I mean, I don't need a tuner. The radio, the 301 tuner in the radio handles it fine.
Yeah, most of the time the matches on those antennas are pretty much like 1.5 to 1 on most of the bands.
Yeah, spot on. So it's a wonderful radio. I have it, the one end mounted up on the tower and the other end's going over to a tree and it's awesome. So my antennas.com and fed half wave.
Yeah, I would second that antenna. That is my primary antenna for sure in terms of setup, and I've got it in inverted L, and I can contest, basically confirm exactly what Ryan says. It's a great listening antenna, great you know, transmit antenna, and it tunes up everything straight from, at least for mine. Mine's an 80 through 10, you know, less than 1.5 to 1 in most cases. I rarely ever have to worry about throwing the tuner on there to dial it down or get it matched. So yeah, awesome antenna for sure. Cool. So, all right. So for me, my first antenna obviously was that, you know, choice there. But I'm going to go with, and it's already been mentioned in the chat there, N3VANs, Reliance antenna. That is my primary, you know, that would be my primary NFED antenna. I have strung that up. I use it a lot for portable, but at the same time, I would probably trust it to all of the elements in New England because it's well constructed. I did an awesome review with you know, and we had a live stream on my channel with Ryan with Matt from Reliance, and he has done some really good designs with that antenna, and it's really well priced in terms of, you know, quality, construction, and, you know, and goes toe to toe with a lot of the other, you know, smaller size antennas. But that would be, it's kind of hard because I look at that because that's more portable for me. So if I had to use, you know, a wire antenna, I think I would go with my, the one I used for field day last year, and the name is escaping me. It was, Chameleon. It was a Chameleon, LEFS. So the lightweight NFED, antenna. Slower. That one worked phenomenal for field day both years that we used it. And, you know, it is a rock solid antenna, well constructed. Didn't have to do any tuning on it, and it just worked right out of the box from 40 through 10. So, I mean, the only drawback is that it was 40.
Is that the one that I used 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
I had all the contacts. Yeah, that thing was good.
Yeah. Yeah, that one had great ears, and that we set that up in a sloper, and then we did it the second year for the Gota tent, and, you know, the guy who ran the Gota tent, you know, had great success with that too as well. And so, yeah, it's been a tried and true performer for sure. All right. Well, we are getting near the second quarter of the hour there, so we are going to run the second giveaway here. So let's, you know, get that in the mix. The second giveaway is, we've been talking a lot about Reliance antenna. I happen to have Reliance antenna NFED half wave 40 through 10. Yes, 40 through 10. Almost full legal lumen. I think it's two. No, it's not. That, my mistake. My apologies. It's 100. It's 200 watts. Does 40 through 10 NFED half wave. If you want to learn more about it, obviously you can go up to Reliance antenna. But I did a review on it, and you can go over to my channel, M1JUR, check that out, and learn more about that antenna. And Todd's actually got it up there. It's the bug out version. This is a very small, portable, light antenna. You will be totally amazed with its, you know, performance, its, you know, capabilities, and the scale of it in terms of size, you know, matches toe to toe with a lot of the other guys that are out there, like the K6ARKs and the Pac-10s and whatnot. And, you know, I love Pac-10s, but they're always unobtainium. So, you know, if you're looking for a good alternative, they are definitely the places to go. And obviously Todd's throwing it up against his phone, and you can see how small it is. So we are going to do the second drawing for that NFED, and we are going to use the keyword # propagation all in caps. So let me get this set up again.
Propagation.
All right. So let me back out of this tool. Come on. Don't give me a hard time.
Now, Eric, right. Just out of curiosity, while you're thinking on you know, setting this giveaway up, I'm curious as to what the value of the giveaway is. Like you know, yep. How much does it cost to buy that antenna setup?
Well, so if you go up to their website, this is the Stealth Wire version. So it includes, it's the 40-10 bug out Stealth Wire green winder, kite winder.
It's this one.
The numbers, basically, I think it puts it right around like about $85 to $90, and then you throw shipping on there, depending how quick you want it. You know, you can, you know, expect to pay right around just shy of about $100. So
you said the bug out antenna and fed halfway
and fed halfway bug out antenna.
Yeah. $50.
Okay. So that's the antenna. And then that including the transformer too.
I just pulled up the web. So it might just be, so
there's two pieces. So it's the wire piece, and then there's the transformer piece.
All right.
Yeah,
so that's two
different. Yeah. You buy this
transformer
that, and then you buy this piece.
Yeah.
Right. And it comes together as one when you put them together.
Yep. All right. So we have got the keyword of propagation spelled exactly the way you see it on the screen. And we'll let that run for a little bit. And so, all right, let me pose you guys, throw another question in there. What is one thing in Christmas that you can't stand that sort of makes you feel grinchy? You know, anybody want to share one thing that, you know, they kind of, they deal with on a yearly basis, or things comes up that just makes you, you know, kind of feel grinchy?
Yeah, I got it right away. The amount of paper and trash and cardboard and trash bags you got to haul to the town dump after.
I am right there with you. Absolutely. My house turns into like you're at one of those foam parties of just wrapping paper and boxes.
You know, this year I have a fire pit at the house.
Not big enough.
On fire. Oh yeah. Up in smoke. So
you're just too short of, you know, causing the woods to catch fire because all the little paper just streams away from the fire pit.
Snow this winter. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Right. You might have to watch it.
I have a big burn pile. I've been waiting to burn as soon as the snow comes down, but we keep getting rain. So
yeah,
throw some 100 low lead on it and just poof.
So maybe it's just me, but you know, one of the things about the Christmas season, if you will, that absolutely drives me nuts is I'm big into Halloween, and the people around Halloween time that are already playing Christmas music and have their Christmas decorations out, like, you know, can you just give it a rest, please? Because so, you know, like, I mean, I worked retail through like the end of high school and, you know, a couple of years here and there before I got into the trades. And you hear the same Christmas songs over and over and over and over again. And so, like, even now, you know, 30 some odd years later, like, I hear those songs and it's before Thanksgiving. And I'm just like, no, I'm Bahama mugged.
So, yes. So at field day, I'm going to be bringing some Christmas music to be blasting over on your station
just for distraction purposes. June. It's Christmas in July,
just to kind of ease you into the season.
Start
I'll bring I'll bring the boom box with some heavy metal and some bagpipes.
Well, that's gonna be fun. So yeah, I guess for my pet peeve, I the one thing I don't like is that when I'm forced into certain festive holiday traditions that that may either be in my wife's mind or in my family's mind that, like, you know, just kind of like it just piles on to the whole Ori stress situation. So anytime that happens and it's not like, you know, we've planned it or organized it, I get like really like my wife calls me the Grinch. And, you know, when she starts to call me the Grinch, I then start acting, you know, the part out really well. So I try to kind of curb that very quickly and, you know, try to, you know, show that I actually have a live heart and it does beat and it loves people. And so, you know, she she tries to push that envelope sometimes and, you know, sometimes she wins and sometimes I win. So it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that, you know, the holiday is all fun for everybody and not forced.
Well, my biggest thing that I can't stand is having to put everything together. You know, I have a 10-year-old, so, oh, can you put this together? And then it's like, you spend all this time, you go through, you put it together, and then it's on to the next thing. It's like, you didn't even play with the thing you just put together.
Well, there's a secret to that. There's a secret to that, Todd. You put all of that stuff together before Christmas.
Yeah.
Put together.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. I don't even like doing it before Christmas, after Christmas at all.
I got one more before Eric pulls the drawing here. Yeah. The required batteries with all them. Double A's, triple A's.
Mm-hmm. Running out to the gas station to get the I forgot the batteries.
Yep. You're gonna suffer. You have to wait till Tuesday. That's the way it goes in my book. All right, cool. All right, so with that, we are going to pull the drawing for the Reliance NFED, and so here we go. All right, and the winner is Hyatt Klintz. All right, Hyatt, congratulations on that antenna there. If you can do me a favor and just make sure you send an email to livefreeandham@gmail.com, and we'll make sure we get your call sign and your address information in that email, and I'll make sure we get that antenna out to you. So thanks again for all those folks. Let's kind of wrap this up. So we're getting close. So we got a couple more categories that we want to, you know, round out here. So let's talk about those. And so let's talk. We talked a little bit on antennas, and I think, you know, we're only going to maybe cover one other area. So we've got another category in the antennas. And so let's go kind of quickly through, Todd, you know, what other antenna might you throw into the ring, whether it's portable or, categories.
Buddy Pole Pro. That is an awesome antenna. I love it. It's my POTA antenna. It never fails. It's very easy to use and goes up and down real quick, very compact. I throw it in my backpack and it's done wonders for me. So yeah, that's my portable, my traveling antenna. I love it. And it's a vertical and it's on a coil and it just works great.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that. That's definitely been our lifesaver on 10 meters every time.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, how about you, Paul?
I guess it's a tough one, you know, because as far as portable goes, I technically have three antennas that I have.
Okay. If you could only love one.
You know, so currently, the go-to is the Xtenna. It works fantastic. I love the ability to switch the ballon on it. I can set it up as a vertical, I can set it up as a sloper. It just works. Inverted V. It's a great, versatile, very small packed antenna. Guy says in the chat, the Wolf River Coil, and that was in the back of my brain there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. However, that's not your choice.
So, that's not my choice.
Still
that's
on the board.
Eric's choice.
Maybe. Let's see what Ryan's got.
So I have a couple of them. I'm in the process of building them out. Is the K6 ARK NFED half waves, and I bought several of his kits to go with the 705. I'll make a few of them resonant on various frequencies and then more of a broadbander, but I like the kit. You know, it's neat, it's small, and
very small.
So that's my choice, the K6 ARK.
Awesome. Yeah, good antenna. Definitely, I would recommend anything that Adam puts together. They are, you know, he field tests the crap out of those things, and they are definitely, you know, well worth the money and the antenna itself. So for me, obviously, we all know I am a big Wolf River Coil lover. I love my Wolf River Coil. That was the first antenna I ever kind of started out with. So I'm running the Silver Bullet Mini original. The one thing I do differently than a lot of other kind of configurations is I run it in a center loaded configuration. So I've got the two 24 inch strided rods. I find, and actually in, I'm running a giveaway or a, 7 days to, my kilo, for Reed's Ferry on my channel. And I had to use my Wolf River Coil because my ATAS decided to have SWR fits and wouldn't tune lower than, a 3-to-1. So I pulled out the Wolf River Coil, set it up, and I it did not disappoint. It came through and used, in that center loader configuration, it just, it hears everything and people hear me. I was getting signal reports 5.9+20 out of Ohio and Texas and a few stations that were even a little bit above the noise in California. And so, it does not disappoint. So it's a great, antenna. And as a lot of people in the, chat are saying that, they definitely use that as their go-to as well. So I can definitely, go with that. So, all right. So our
real quick, yeah. Just before we get off the antennas for the UHF VHF guys, this is my Ed Fong antenna in.
Oh yeah. We didn't have a category for that. Right.
This is, This thing is amazing. All right. It sits in PVC pipe. I leave it here. And basically what I do is the reason I know it's so good is when I didn't have a flex or I didn't have I wasn't doing POT or anything when I was a technician. I was down at the Cape and I had a HT, and I set that up and that antenna on a tripod sitting on the deck. And I was hitting a repeater 60 miles away. And these guys could not believe on this net that I was on. They're like, what antenna are you using? And I told them, I said, listen, this thing is amazing. And then when I went down to the Caribbean, the Virgin Islands, I brought the kind of fold up version, not in the pole, just kind of loose and you just hang it from something. And I was using the HT and I was hitting Puerto Rico, St. Croix. I mean, really on an HT with those antennas. So the thing is just awesome. So if you're looking for a good VHF, UHF antenna, then you want to save some money. It's definitely worth it. It's highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Love my phone.
Yes. He loves this long. That's what he said. Yep.
Yeah.
He's got one in rainbow colors, he's got one in red, he's got one in white. Anyway.
Yeah, they were at Near Fest this past fall. They were also there in the spring too. Mm.
Yeah, I would definitely confer with that one. The one thing I didn't mention, and I just totally skipped over my notes, and we won't get into too much detail with it, is my buddy Hex. I don't want to brag much about that thing, but even it worked phenomenally, even though Todd fried his finals at field day. He was still able to make contact with me and
put it off. No finals. I made five or four.
Five contacts
with on no less finals.
Than, yep, no finals on a radio. So that speaks volumes for sure in my book. Yeah. All right, cool.
That Buddy Pole company is definitely they're very, the antennas are great, and they're definitely, if you're doing POTA or your field day stuff, you can't go wrong with them. And the one thing I think the biggest difference between that and the one that you were using, the Wolf River Coil, is the Buddy Pole Pro, I think it's more compact. So if you're looking to be more compact, like if you're traveling, flying or something like that, I think that's the only disadvantage. But Eric and I have done double POTA activation using both those antennas. And they, in my opinion, they both work the same. Like there was no one that was better or less. So,
yep. Yeah, full-heartedly agree. I think all of us have had one of those, whether it's just the ladder line version or in the PVC pipe as well. So it has not let or disappointed us. So, all right. So this is the coveted category box for or category area called gear bags or go boxes. So we're going to kind of break this down into really two key areas. First thing we're going to talk about is gear bags or go boxes. You know, your choice, you can decide. And, you know, there's no wrong answer with this one, because I know all of us have some gear boxes or go boxes, and some of us have gear bags. So, Todd, what's your kind of first pick in either of those categories, whether you're applying it to POTA or SOTA, or just, you know, every day, you know, kind of get out and operate in the field?
All right, so I got a 5'11 bag. Is for my POTA bag. It holds a small tuner, the 891, a nice good size battery, my iPad, all my cables, my antenna, and there's also room for some other stuff. But it's really compact. It's heavy, but when you got everything. But I lug that thing on planes and everything, and it's a great material, and it's got a lot of room. And what I like about it is when you unzip it, the whole thing opens up, so it's like completely open and vertical. So like you can just lay it down, open it up, and everything is right there. So you don't have to like reach into it. You know, the zippers go all the way around. So that's what I use. And I had a smaller one, but when I wanted to get all my gear in, I had to go up a little bit, and it works awesome. So I like it.
Yeah. 5'11 makes some good stuff for sure. All right, Paul, what's your pick, since I know you were working on your pack last time, trying to drop it down from 30 or 40 pounds to 30 something or whatever it was, the number was. So what are you using for gear bags or go boxes or mix of both?
Well, yeah. So originally I was using the bag that came with my Chameleon M-Pass 2.0. And well, it's a great bag. It's just, it lacks in a lot of the compartmentalization areas. And actually I gotta give credit to Ham Radio 2.0, because he put out, I don't remember if it was Gigaparts or HRO. They were doing some like expedition backpack. And if you bought it, you got four free small bags that go in it. That's the POTA bag now, and it's an amazing bag. But what makes that key is these Chinese bags, these little canvas Kyoto bags. I'll post a link in the chat. But these bags are nice heavy canvas. They get a nice heavy zipper, a nice little pull tab on them, and they're color coded, so it makes it easy to organize things. You know. And for me, at least on portable aspects, like having the color coded bags made a world of difference in getting things organized and being able to grab what I need when I need it.
Dude, that was the best thing you ever did. I was totally impressed with that system. We'll have to dive into some of that stuff in the future episodes. But yeah, he color coded a lot of stuff, like for power, for red and green, for antenna and, you know, ground radials. And I was just like, dude, that's smart, period. So good job on that one. All right, Ryan, what do you got for your bag there or your go kit?
Yeah, so one of the YouTube channels had posted these, and I looked into them and realized, hey, this is really very similar to Paul's. They're called Hilltop Bags, made down in it's either Virginia or West Virginia. Very lightweight, like parachute material. So it's very thin, and it compresses well, but they're various sizes, small, medium, large. You know, you can separate all your, like you just described, you know, your ground wire antennas, your coax adapters, everything you need, and have it sorted in a bag. So I'll also post a link here in the in the chat.
We'll make sure all those are in the show notes too as well. So you have all of them. You can go back and do the team replay.
They're cheap and they're awesome. So real good organization.
Very cool. All right. Well, I'd say for me, my go bag, gear bag, I used to have a POTA bag, which was I can't remember who it was. It was a smaller bag. Either way, I ended up transferring out of it because I couldn't handle all the stuff I was carrying. So I went with a Tenba 24T, and that one is primarily kind of advertised as a camera bag, but it's got a lot of great pocket systems and good storage. And I spent a lot of time just kind of researching bags for the purposes of, you know, what can I get out of it in terms of both, you know, strength and, you know, durability, but, you know, what can it give me for like modularity so I can adjust, you know, the straps or the compartments and whatnot. And so that bag has got all the features that I would expect out of my Osprey Manta 34, which is basically a backpack for, day hiking and stuff. So it's got all of the built-in capabilities for all of that, for water, storage and, the hip pads and belt and all that other stuff. But the compartments in there are phenomenal in terms of access and for being able to stick everything. So I carry a lot of my equipment around with me for cameras and video and stuff like that. So I got to have space for that. And it adds to the weight of that on top of it. But being able to throw the 891 in there, the couple, devices for logging and all of the zip bags for, all of the parts and stuff like that all fit in that bag. And it's actually probably right around maybe 35 pounds. So it's heavier than usual, but I'm not backpacking with it. So I don't mind throwing it in a truck and just kind of going with it. And it keeps everything all in. well padded space. So that's my kind of go-to with that.
Yeah, and we used both Eric's and my bag when we did the Rove on the Seacoast. Oh, right. And we were very well organized, and it was like setting up, taking down, back and forth. And it was very they were both, if we had to go walk to the beach, and leave the car or distance, we just grabbed the stuff and went. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, that was a good point. Yeah, basically just quick and dirty and in and out. Cool. All right. So what, we could probably go for hours in bags. And, if you ever want to, learn more, we can definitely do a separate episode and talking about this stuff. But let's get to that special category that kind of alerted about earlier in the episode. We want to kind of just, what is your guess? Like, what would you want to see in 2024 if, any one of the big four or even another vendor outside of the big four was going to showcase a new radio that was going to either be the next replacement to, a field radio or an HF radio? And I mean, ICOM and Yaesu and Kenwood, all of those guys are starting to get back into the game, and they're starting to release some really good, designs and features in their radios. But what one thing would you want to see, And so let me throw it to you, Todd. What do you want to see that, maybe we can hopefully see at Dayton or at Hamcation in 2024?
I'd like to see an update to the 891. It's been around. It's like a legend of a radio, in my opinion. It's been around for a long time, and it's never failed, and a lot of people love it. But I think it'd be nicer to have it redone, where we have a better way to navigate the radio, because the 891, it kind of stacked on layers, so sometimes it's hard to move through the menus. So kind of like, I wish they could come up with like a 705 competition killer. but keep it at 100 watts. I think that would be a huge game changer, that they would be able to really compete. And I think if they put that radio out, I know I'd be on that list day one.
Oh yeah.
Getting it. And I think anyone who does POTA would probably jump all over that too, just because it's, just having the ability to move around and work with the menus. It's just the 891 is a little time consuming. And when you're doing POTA and you're doing a pile up or whatever, and you're trying to work someone, it'd be nice to just have it all there, like some of the more modern radios.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So if Yaesu, if you're watwatching this or you get a hold of this, please, I keep asking every year, and Santa's says you're not
delivering. Doing
not this year, son.
Did you email K at MRD? He has a direct line to Santa from last time I checked. Did you put in a request then? Yeah, I should. Maybe that's what it did. Yeah. How about you, Paul? What's your kind of coveted, hopefully 2024 radio that you'd like to see?
It's difficult, right? Because I'm a budget conscious person. I live on a fixed income, and so anytime that I upgrade radios, it's a process. There's a lot of deliberation, a lot of planning involved. I started with the ICOM 706 Mark II G. I love that radio. The fact that it's fairly small, it's compact, it's an all in one. Obviously, the 705 is the newer, nicer, better version of the all-in-one, but it's, not QRO. So I think if I hit the lottery tomorrow and I got to, hey, ICOM, listen, this is what I want from you. I want something small, compact, portable, like the 705, But give me the option for 100 watts.
Hmm. Yeah. Sounds exactly like N2MAK said here. You know, I we all agree that, you know, it needs to look exactly like the ICOM and follow and mirror ICOM, but have Yaesu logo on it. Sorry, Ryan.
That's all right.
Okay, so Ryan, we know what more can they improve on the 705 that you'd like to see in 2024?
You know, if you pull out all the bells and whistles, it'd be nice to have a Flex 6800.
Oh, yeah, good call there. Yeah.
So something with the transverters built in can do the higher frequencies. And, you know, there's a couple other small tweaks to it, but a full band shack in a box Flex.
In the words of Hammer Your Workbench, take my money. Yeah. It's simple as that, man. With that, I drool over that and figure out how I can mortgage the house twice
over. What's nice about Flex is that they buy your radios back. So you've already got like a,
You know,
what you've ever invested into it, you've already kind of got like a down payment going.
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea. Not thinking about that. I totally forgot. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That would be phenomenal. I would love to have, and you know, I'm not of the camp, like as a few others are, of like having a lot of radios. Like, I mean, when it comes to HF in terms of my bass, I like to have a few that do a lot. And I think that would be a perfect fit for that. That'd be awesome. Yeah. All right. So I'm very much in the camp with Todd and a few others that, you know, we need a 705 match toe for toe, you know, that looks like an 891, you know, in terms of power and functionality, but it, you know, revised looking 710 model. I don't know. One thing I would not want to see in that 705 killer is to have a Fusion component. I don't think it needs to have digital. Like that, you know, that for me would be like, I would probably never use it, just like Ryan said with, you know, the D-Star. You know, he probably doesn't use the D-Star mode, but everything else in that radio is perfect. So that would be, I would have to say that I would agree with 100%. The only other thing I would think of is that if there was a way that we could that Yaesu could come around, like Yaesu, ICOM's sort of doing it. They already kind of already do it now. Flex definitely does it, is get on the bandwagon with remote. Like, stop trying to develop these small, like, devices that plug in between that sort of service, you know, the capabilities to be able to do remote radio from your shack and only do it, you know, on one platform or another. You know, come up with a better way in your interfaces, you know, to make everything look like, you know, Flex. I hate to say everyone should do it like Flex. I think everyone should do their own implementation the way they should do it, but I think every radio in 2024 should start to have that capability. I mean, we're already seeing it with why Elecraft's story doing with their KX4, Flex has been doing it forever. You know, there are a few other, you know, vendors that are starting to get around in that space. Everyone should start thinking in that sense and start thinking about, hey, give me an Ethernet port. I don't want to have a USB port any longer. Give me an Ethernet port. That's what I'm looking for in every radio, hopefully in 2024. And that includes even the VHF, UHF stuff. That would be phenomenal to be able to control some of those radios. Yeah, we'll have the capability.
Every radio should have either Ethernet or a Wi-Fi antenna, and
totally,
you know, then they can roll the software out as needed, but get that hardware in there, and then that's then it can grow.
I also think that mobile radios should have some kind of Bluetooth so you can connect to your speakers, and
a Bluetooth implementation that works with every other Bluetooth in the world, not exactly, their own.
Right, not their own. That's universal. That, you know, I can connect my car radio and speakers to the radio, and then that way I don't have
or
to have
a keyboard, so I can do APRS from my 300. How is
right? Yeah. That would be I think if a company like if ICOM came out with something like that, I would probably switch 300 to that to have that ability.
Yeah, as Matt says, you know, their components are so small. What is the problem? It's like, you know, the same thing with, you know, Yaesu, where they're like, they're using the D sub connector off the back of the radio, so you have DVI instead of HDMI. Come on, please.
I mean,
stop playing.
I mean, look at it. I got a watch that does more than my radio. You know, come on. It could be done.
Exactly. Computer. Come on. All right, cool. Well, hey, we could go on forever. And so, you know, we are going to try to cut it off here because I know everyone is definitely got a busy week as we round and getting closer to Christmas. So thank you again for everybody in the chat. Appreciate all you guys. We had about 24 listeners. So thank you guys for all being a part of this. And we appreciate your support and, you know, ask you to continue just, you know, to be part of the community and help us out along the way. So, you know, with that, thank you for joining Live Free and Ham. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, you can always connect with the show. You got a tattoo already? Wow, man, he's dedicated. I love it.
Wow. All right, that's some dedication.
That's dedication, my friend. Oh, man. So leave us a show review on iTunes or our website. We will be glad to read it in our next episode. And you can always contact us on social media for the latest information, shows, and content. And you can support the show, as always, through our Patreon and Buy Us a Beer links. And those are in our show notes and our website, as every bit helps the show. And as always, this live stream is recorded to a podcast within 24 hours. So you can definitely pick that back up if you're a regular subscriber to the podcast. And if you want to connect to any one of our hosts, Paul, myself, Todd, or Ryan, you can find all of our information up at livefreeandham.com. And as always, Merry Christmas. And thanks again for listening. For all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3. 7-3.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you guys soon. 73.